The preview is gofortheTwo.com, and my buddy Joe Lisi, L-I-S-I, is the man in charge. So here he is, a little college football on a sunny June afternoon. Joe Lisi, what's going on, Joseph?
Nothing, Sid. Thanks for having me. Love the show and love talking college football with you.
You too. Listen, let's get right to the meat of the matter, which is last time we saw college football, Nick Saban and Alabama favorite to win it again, and they almost did. The bustle was Deshaun Watson and Clemson, a fantastic game, a great finish. Sweeney gets the win over Saban. I think you'd agree that it ended last year in spectacular fashion.
It was a game for the ages. I mean, the way Deshaun Watson and that offense engineered a two-minute drive to get the game-winning touchdown to Hunter Renfro, I mean, unprecedented game. I don't think we'll see it ever again in terms of dramatic fashion such as that, but that's what makes college football so special, Sid, and that's why we love this great game.
Well, let's bring it back to where we are now. Now, the kid Deshaun Watson is gone. He's in the NFL now. I know Clemson still sports a pretty good defense, and I know they're still going to be a very good football team, but is there any reason to believe, if I'm a Clemson fan, that without the quarterback, I've got a chance to be just as special again?
Yeah, I think you do. I think if you look at the blueprint that Dabo Sweeney and defensive coordinator Brett Venables have built there in Death Valley is similar to what Nick Saban has done in Tuscaloosa. 3 years ago, they were the number one statistical defense in college football, giving up around 261 total yards per game. They lost eight starters in 2015, made it to the national championship game against Alabama. They lost six starters from that defense, and more importantly, 24.5 of the team's 48 sacks with Kevin Dodd and Shaq Lawson, and they reloaded again to win the national championship. And it's not just the defense, Sid, overall. You look at the wide receivers of Deion Kane, Ray McCloud, and Hunter Renfro. They are loaded at the skill players as well. And as long as they get a complement quarterback in that scheme, I think they're the front runner for the ACC and the Atlantic Division.
Wow. Okay, so but again, winning the division, front runner ACC, that gets them to the four-team playoff. I guess that means they're good enough to win the whole thing, right? I mean, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes down to defense. And when you have guys like Dexter Lawrence on the defensive front seven and what they were able to do in run support, only giving up around 128 rushing yards per game, to me, that's why I like Clemson to get back to the playoff this year. It's not just the secondary. It is the front seven, the way they can run sideline to sideline a la Alabama. And that's what Dabo Sweeney has done. And more importantly, Sid, he's a big-game head coach. You look at some of the teams that he's knocked off in recent years, Ohio State, yeah. Oklahoma, yeah. LSU, and Alabama. I mean, he's a giant killer and one of the best coaches in college football.
You know, you mentioned Ohio State. Obviously, they're a team that's going to be a top two or three team, if not one, in the preseason polls. And they should be. Urban Meyer does a great job. But I got to tell you, JT Barrett arrived on the scene a couple of years ago. They were stocked full. They had three good quarterbacks. Remember, they had Jones. They had the other kid who went on to blast at his knee. Right. What's his name? Miller, Braxton Miller. And the last couple of years, JT Barrett, to me, looked sluggish. Not only the game against Clemson, the game against Michigan last year and Penn State, other games. I think JT Barrett has gone backwards.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point that you brought up. And you know how I feel about Ohio State. I'm not as high on the Buckeyes this year as a lot of people are. I expect them at 8-4 overall. But you brought up JT Barrett's progression. A lot has to do, in my opinion, with the departure of former offensive coordinator Tom Herman that moved on to become the head coach of Houston and now at Texas. His departure put a lot of pressure on the new offensive scheme. And even though you have the same offensive talent, you have to understand, if you're a coordinator, how that talent responds in game situations and call a game plan based off of that. And it's not as smooth of a transition as a lot of people think. And you look at 2017, they lose 19 of the team's 26 total touchdown receiving receptions with the loss of Samuel, Noah Brown, and DeAndre Wilson to the NFL. And the loss of three starters in that secondary and leading tackler Raekwon McMillan. Unfortunately, I think the Buckeyes are 8-4 in 2017.
Raekwon McMillan, of course, goes to the Dolphins. We'll talk to Tannenbaum next hour. Hey, tell me this, Joe Lisi, gofortheTwo.com here on CBS Sports Radio around the country on this gorgeous Saturday in June. Jalen Hurts is back with Alabama. Nick Saban had the chance to win another one last year. Now he's in his second season, got to feel a little more comfortable there. To me, it's got to make Alabama the preseason favorite to win the whole thing, no?
Well, on paper, I think you can't take away from what Nick Saban and Alabama, Jeremy Pruitt, have done, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But they lose 36.5 of the team's 54 total sacks from 2016 with the loss of Jonathan Allen, Tomlinson, Reuben Foster, Ryan Anderson, and Tim Williams, coupled with Eddie Jackson and Marlon Humphrey in that secondary. And they have a new offensive coordinator in Brian Daboll to work with Jalen Hurts, but they lose offensive starters like Cam Robinson, Ardarius Stewart, and O.J. Howard to that offense. So, again, I think Alabama wins the SEC West, Sid, but I have them at pegged at 9-3 for 2017 and on the outside looking in football players.
All right, go for the 2.com. That's the preview. Joe Lisi, one of the most entertaining football games I've ever seen, along with the championship game last year, was the Rose Bowl. What a show USC and Penn State put on last year. That brings me to the Trojans. They've got Sam Darnold. He's everybody's favorite to win the Heisman Trophy, the terrific quarterback. And a lot of folks think they are the team to beat, especially when they played the second half of last season. What about the Trojans heading into 2017?
Yeah, they're the front runner for the Pac-12. I mean, they had a 9-game winning streak. Them and Penn State both ended their year with 9-game winning streaks in that Rose Bowl. And you look at Clay Helton's defense, they held 6 of 13 opponents under 100 yards rushing in 2016. They were 6-0 in those games and won those games by 20.5 points per game. I think they win the Pac-12 division. I think they get to the Pac-12 championship game. But unfortunately, I think they're on the outside looking in for the 2017 playoff as well.
Wow, Penn State, though, let's go there. I would have thought James Franklin was in big trouble last year, and then, of course, he has this amazing season set up by this incredible 1-2 punch he's got in his backfield with McSorley at quarterback and, of course, the great running back Barkley as well. They're another team some folks are touting to win the whole thing this year. I believe they are a legitimate candidate to do so. What about the Nittany Lions?
Yeah, I really like this team. I think they're the creme de la creme of the Big Ten. You mentioned quarterback Trace McSorley and running back Saquon Barkley, but it's the defense overall last year that really impressed me down the stretch. In the first 7 games of the year, they allowed 203 rushing yards per game to opposing offenses. When they had the 9-game winning streak over the last 7 games, they held opposing offenses to 99.5 yards rushing. That's a big statistic heading into 2017. I like what they have on the front 7. I think this team goes 10-2 and gets back to the Big Ten championship game. And I do feel that Penn State is a playoff contender and will be there in one of the 4 teams in 2017.
Joe Cook is not running the football this year for Jimbo Fisher. Boy, what an exciting player he was for the Seminoles the last couple of years. He's gone, but they always seem to have a big-time running back over at Florida State. Where is Jimbo Fisher's team heading into the season?
Well, he's got a big play quarterback in DeAndre Francois, one of the key experienced signal caller. And on paper, it looks like they're the team to beat in the Atlantic for the ACC. But big losses at the wide receiver position with Bobo Wilson and Travis Rudolph. And defensive end DeMarcus Walker, that led that team with 16.5 total sacks, will be a loss to that defense. They weren't a dominant defense in 2016, Sid. They got better as the year progressed. But unfortunately, have Florida State pegged at 10-2 overall. They have a solid running back at Jock Patrick, and they also get Cam Akers, who's a 5-star recruit. But I think the losses in terms of the wide receiver position will hurt that team, and I think they're a step behind Clemson in the division. They finished second at 10-2 for the 2017 season.
Shocking news coming out of college football just a couple of days ago. It knocked me down. I was like, whoa, really? Where would this come from? After 18 great seasons with the Sooners in Oklahoma, out of nowhere, Bob Stoops says, okay, I'm done. See ya. Thanks. Had a good time. Pretty good clubs. See ya. What was that all about?
That's a very untimely resignation or retirement. I'm still scratching my head with that. I mean, I've heard some residual effects of possibly the Joe Mixon case. We don't know. Others have mentioned it's possible health issues, and others have mentioned, like Steve Spurrier, that he's not a lifer. I don't know what the situation is, but to resign and give over the reins to Lincoln Riley, a 33-year-old, 2 months before the season, you just have to scratch your head. I mean, I thought about this today. What are the possibilities that maybe next year he takes over the Kansas State Wildcats with Bill Snyder? Bill Snyder's getting up there in age. He was on his staff. Does he want to take over that program next year? He's been mentioned for other jobs as well. But I think Lincoln Riley has his hands full, even though he's been a big part of Baker Mayfield's progression over the last couple of years. I think Oklahoma is on the hot seat entering 2017.
Maybe the Jets. And oh, two teams reading your preview, GoForTheTwo.com, that you really, really like include teams closer to 10-15 than 1-10 include two teams with pretty good quarterbacks, Georgia and Oklahoma State. You like those two clubs, yes?
Yeah, I do. I like them both. I think let's start with Georgia. I mean, the one thing I look at in terms of the progression under first-year head coach Kirby Smart is they got 23 of the team's 29 total sacks in the last eight games of the year. They held opposing offenses to only 181 passing yards per game. I think that carries through in 2017. And more importantly, that Jacob Eason did start the season as a true freshman. He got big game experience, progressed as the year went on, threw eight touchdowns, three interceptions throughout the last eight games of the year. And they have two of the best running backs in the SEC and possibly in the nation with Sony Michel and Nick Chubb. I think this will aid this team. I think Georgia wins the SEC East, and I think they're a playoff contender after they knock off the Alabama Crimson Tide in the SEC championship game.
Wow. Okay, let's go to Miami. I'd be remiss. One of the bigger stations we're on a day like this on CBS Sports Radio. One of my old stomping grounds, 560 WQAM. Another year for Mark Richt. I think Miami fans are delusional. Living there for as long as I they put the sign up with their hand, and you know, Michael Irvin ain't walking through those doors anytime soon. Whether it's been Randy Shannon or the guy Al Golden, year after year after year, there's been one excuse after another. They've really been rendered a mediocre program after winning five championships. Is Richt on the way to putting them back into a big time program, or are they just all what they are?
Yeah, I think they are what they are. I mean, I have them pegged for 8-4 overall. Let's talk about Mark Richt. I mean, he never got it done after his first year there in Georgia, where he had big game experience and big game victories and couldn't get the Bulldogs over the hump. Now he loses Brad Kaya. He loses running back Joseph Yearby. He loses David Njoku and Stacy Coley, who are huge losses to that offense. Defensively, I think they'll be set. They only allowed opposing offenses 130 rushing yards per game in 2016. I think that will carry through in this upcoming season. But unfortunately, the offensive losses, when you look at Njoku and you look at Coley, 106 total receptions in 2016, 17 total touchdowns, Sid. Those are huge losses to make up for. And with a new starting quarterback, I don't see Miami getting over the hump in the ACC. I have them pegged at 8-4 for 2017.
All right, literally 30 seconds ago, I got a heartbreak coming at the top here. Give me the four teams in the playoffs and the two teams playing for all the money.
I got Oklahoma State, Clemson, Penn State, and Georgia. Clemson and Oklahoma State will meet in the national championship game, and defense wins championships, baby. I'm going with Dabo Sweeney and Brett Venables to repeat as national champions.
Fantastic. Joe, your preview, GoForTheTwo.com, is great. You're even better, by the way, talking about it live on the air. Thank you for hopping on CBS Sports Radio. Great job, buddy. I love you.
Anytime, Sid. Love the show. Love college football.